Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Our text, we're emphasizing sort of a family setting, family service, the family and the meal. So very appropriate songs that Georgia picked out, centering on Christ and who we are in Christ as a family. And of course, all glory be to God. So it's just an important time in a church because we are a family. We are an organism, not an organization. So Robert's Rules of Orders, that's good. But this book is better. So 1 Timothy chapter 3, let me put my cheaters on. Familiar passage, Paul writing to young Timothy, one of what's called the pastoral epistles, how to do church, church leadership. So hear the words of the Lord. 1 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, an overseer, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, deacons must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be proved, then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Pastoral epistles, descriptions of biblical leadership, the terms elders, deacons, but yet also for all of us, character qualities that are important for us as Christians to aspire to this type of life for the taking care of as a family. And that's one of the things I just greatly appreciate, the family nature of, you know, we've got the in-laws, the outlaws, but you know what? We're still family. And I like that. And so this, we years ago, we've talked about this. It's in our why and how book. But so you've heard this before, but it bears repeating that as a family, what should those we are installing today, our leaders, when we have our annual meeting, we vote on deacons and trustees and all those areas of servant leadership, we might say, these are things we are looking for or should be looking for. But once again, they are good qualities for any Christian to reflect who it is as men and women of God that we should be. And so, well, let me give you a quote from good old King George VI after, if you remember, his brother Edward, the 7th or 8th, abdicated the throne and wanted to marry Wallace Simpson, the American. And so all of a sudden, King George VI, he had a stuttering problem, was coronated in 1937 before World War II, and just the leadership he provided to the British people. And there's a great movie, The King's Speech, if you've ever seen it. But he was known, even though he shouldn't have been king, but because his older playboy brother abdicated, all of a sudden he's thrust into this position. He served his people. And he said, the highest of distinctions is the service of others. And he reflected that in his life, and how much more should then we in the church? Because the idea we're going to be talking about is God has definite ideas about what a church servant leader should look like. And so in our text, they're called, my translation has bishop. I'm reading from the New King James, which adds a couple words in here and there from a different original language manuscript. But bishop or elder. The elder, where we get our word Presbyterian, but elders, the more mature, were to be leading in the church. Another word that's used is shepherd, or where we get our word pastor, and then overseer, responsible for the spiritual oversight. That's the New King James translates it as bishop. So guarding against heresy. So a family, these spiritual leaders have some qualifications and characters that are important. And so in verse 1, you see the calling. And so in all our lives, what we do in the church, of course, specifically, but in all our lives, our calling. Are we doing what God wants? And so the calling, he must desire the position. So sometimes we kid about, you know, trying to fill slots and why there shouldn't be quotas in church leaderships. But, you know, that light at the end of the tunnel, that's the train that's about to railroad you. And, you know, we're gonna volunteer you for, no, they must desire the position, because you get somebody against their will in the church leadership, they can cause great harm. So the calling, but then the character, and some of these terms come from, if you've ever heard of Kent Hughes, pastored College Church in Wheaton, Illinois, right next to Wheaton College, for years and years. Wonderful preacher, and he has a whole commentary series on books of the Bible from a preacher's standpoint. And so he could say so much, and I like some of the terms and the alliteration. Of course, if you've got a sermon, you've got to be able to alliterate it. So first we've got a calling. Now we've got character. And they all start with the letter. But the character, so in verses 2-7, some of the words that a reputation, that they're blameless, they're above reproach. In a marriage relationship, that talks about husband of one wife, but faithful in the contents of marriage, because a church is pictured as a family. And so if your home life is messed up, that's a microcosm of what leading in the church. And so the idea then of relationships and marriage, or whatever family relationship, faithful committed to his family. But then the idea of self-mastery, so some of the words like temperate or sober-minded, good behavior, that able to control. You know, we live in a culture that often operates on emotion as opposed to reason, dignity, sober-mindedness. The idea of self-control and clarity of mind, not controlled by anything other than Christ. Must be the idea of ministry, hospitable, loving strangers. The church ought to be known for welcoming people, because this is a hospital for sick people, right? This is not an elite club where, you know, sometimes when, you know, visitors come in and can't you find your own church somewhere else? No, we are to be welcoming, and church leadership should be welcoming. Able to teach, especially the elders, the idea of being able to convey basic Christian truths. The idea then of temperance, I like this, not given to or near or controlled by wine. So you don't want a drunk as your church leadership. And we get to deacons, they've got a lesser standard. They shouldn't be controlled by much wine. So they, I like that, but temperance. But then the temperate, not violent, or I like the King James, not pugnacious. You know, looking for fights. Some pastors, especially in political season, maybe sometimes pastors, we're ready to fight more than we are to proclaim and preach and teach the Word of God. Gentle, patient, not quarrelsome. So a lot of overlap, but character things that we want to see in spiritual leaders and in all our lives. But then also money, when it comes to money, not greedy for, as the King James says, filthy lucre. If it's all about money, we're missing the priority. Not covetous, a lover of money. And sometimes ministries, they're known for how much money you send in so that, you know, maybe I can get a second Learjet or whatever it is I think I need. But then when it comes to the family, ruling his own house. So this is a picture, you know, all male elders, of course, in the New Testament church. And the idea of managing, literally, I like to, standing before or attending to his family beautifully. You want a pastor, you look at their family. And if their family's full of kids like El Guapo back there, David, wave at everybody, David. I mean, he disqualifies me right away. So, no, good kid. But family lives, and how many families have been destroyed by ministries where priority in the pastor's life doesn't take care of his family or vice versa. So, and having his children in submission, that goes to the kids. But then also the idea of maturity, not a novice or a new convert. Sometimes people, pastors, think they've gotten the call to ministry. Okay, maybe so, but they are young, they haven't had any training, and so there's no depth there. And it can become a source of pride where it's puffed up with pride, which, like Satan, can lead to a fall. Most ministries, most pastors fail, not so much because of doctrine, but because of money and morals. And so young people can be pretty puffed up with that. And then finishes up with reputation, having a good testimony among those outside. And so something that's attractive to unbelievers. Once again, folks, we as a church family, we should recognize how bad sin is, right? And recognize it in our lives so that we extend grace to others, as opposed to, I wonder what those lousy pagans are out doing right now. See, we're sick people, beggars telling other beggars where to find bread, is a quote that you'll hear a lot from me. So those are the elders, if you will. But then it goes on to talk about what the Bible calls deacons, the office of deacons. And in Acts chapter 6, I won't read it, but Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, I believe the biblical institution of deacons, where the Greek widows and the Hebrew widows were not being taken care of. Local churches take care of those within the church and of course, help people on the outside as well. But these widow ladies, and in that culture, they didn't have Social Security or anything. And so the Greek widows felt like they were being neglected in the ministry of the church. And so 7 men were appointed to, you know, almost 7 days of the week, to oversee, to make sure that the church family was being taken care of. And if you, it's interesting, if you read those names, they're Greek names, where they basically got Greek deacons to help make sure that people were taking care of the physical ministry. So a biblical definition, elders, bishop, overseers, pastors, the spiritual well-being, but then the physical well-being, the office of deacons. So that in Acts 6 takes that where the elders said, the apostles, elders, said, you know, we need to be about spiritual things, but we need people to take care of the physical ministry. And we'll see that applied to our situation, how God uses our church family to do these very things. So the idea then of deacon, which just means a servant or a helper. And so, well, I read the Acts, the origin, for that. You've got the notes if you want to look that up. But then the attributes. And so deacon qualifications are important as well, because it starts off in verse 8, likewise, the deacons, they should be respected. And so some of the words, reverent, they're not double-tongued. Literally 2 words, you know, think of that forked tongue, where, you know, politicians, lawyers, preachers were good at saying one thing but meaning another. So, no, respectful, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. I like that. But once again, not controlled by anything other than Christ. There are a lot of things we can be addicted to in our culture. Wine, drugs, chocolate. There are lots of things that, if it allows you to, bacon. Well, no, actually, biblically, bacon's okay. Unless you're Jewish. But the idea then of being respectful and not greedy, once again, for money. We're not in this for the money. This is about serving God, serving one another. They must be convinced. I like it. So respected, convinced. So holding to the mystery, the truths of Scripture. Once again, we want folks that are, no, they're not brand new. They have been around for a while. It talks about being tested, being proved, which is why the way our government, church government says, you need to be a member for at least a year before you're eligible. That's one of the ways we acknowledge that we don't want somebody walking in off the street and said, ooh, I want to be a deacon. And I think I've told you this story when I was in the military down in the Meridian, Mississippi. There's 2 kinds of churches down there. There's Baptist churches and there's Baptist churches. and deacons. And that was one of the things, if you wanted to get into politics, it was good to say you were a deacon at First Baptist Church, because First Baptist was always where the money was. It was the main church. You know, George and I, like to say, we went to 15th Avenue Baptist Church. So, but the deacons, and they asked me to be a deacon way back when. And while I was back at the squadron ready room, a buddy of mine, I think, was interested in politics, and he had heard I'd been made a deacon. He didn't go to church or anything like that, but he said, how do I get to be a deacon? Because that would look good on a resume for whatever. And so the idea of clout, money, whatever it is, fame, prestige, to be able to say, deacon, that's not why we are in, any of us should be in ministry. So being proved, tested, blameless, nothing against them. You know, some of these terms, just think about our lives and how we can portray ourselves to the outside and the bad witness that the world, who doesn't know any better, but they see, and you know, Christ's name can be denigrated just by the actions of his people. Now, he's like Aslan the lion, was a quote from C.S. Lewis. You know, how do you defend a lion? You just let the lion loose. The lion doesn't, Jesus doesn't need defense from me, but I want my life, you want your life, to reflect glory on our Savior. So respected, convinced, tested, helpmated. That one's a little stretch, Kent Hughes. But once again, talking about wives, that deacons might be privy to financial issues, private issues. And so in that culture, their spouses, husband and wives, if the wives are literally devils with devil tongues gossiping, that's not appropriate either. So it goes back to the character of the family. And then domesticated, the husband of one wife, literally once again a one-woman man, ruling, managing his children in his own well. So you can see the character. And put this in the context then of, you know, you ladies shouldn't be tuning, oh, well, I was just talking about the men. No, these are qualifications for all of us. And when it comes to how we have trustees and deacons, finance committee, board members, the women's ministry, the men's ministry, these are all forms of, in a lot of cases, deaconing. And so just being people of character in this church family. And then I like that in verse 13, the awards for those who have served well as deacons, but that just means served well in the ministry. So all of us, especially those we are going to install and recognize today, served well as deacons, obtained for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We're doing it for God and His glory. What a privilege. Not about, look at me, I've got my card-carrying deacon. No, and, you know, I mean, I know when you guys are at Walmart, you throw around the fact that, you know, I go to CFC. And I'm a deacon at CFC. It's not about us, is it? It's about taking care of the family. And there's a promise and a blessing for doing it God's way. Well, so what? Dwight D. Eisenhower, you ever heard of him? Probably most of you in your age group probably have never heard of him. He said, the supreme quality for leadership is unquestionably integrity. Without it, no real success is possible. No matter whether it is on a section gang, a football field, in an army, or in an office. How much more we in the church, integrity, the character, the quality of the standards of what God expects. And had an old church leader back when we were in Nebraska, you know, one of his favorite quotes, which understood rightly, was, God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies those who are called. Well, yes, but the reflection here is a little higher calling to serve one another in this church. And I am thankful for all of you, but obviously those who have stepped up, got railroaded, however you ended up here, but voted in, because that's our form of government. We have a congregational meeting. The Holy Spirit speaks through each one of us, because if you are a Christian, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so it's not a popularity contest, but we are voting for God's glory on the church leadership. Because God has definite ideas about what a church servant leader should look like. What about us? So not only the leadership, official, unofficial, but also in all our lives. Folks, if you have the notes there, you know, a lot of that's just sort of Greek stuff and everything, my preaching notes, but that is a great picture of what a child of God should look like, all for God's glory. So